All right, we'll start with the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Amud Bet. So Mishnah is generally cryptic, and then we're going to have two explanations in the Gemara about how to understand this Mishnah, one by Rav and one by Ula. So the Mishnah says, Eved Shaso Rabo Apultiki, right, a Eved Kanani that his master made into a piece, a collateral, but directed collateral, Acherim, Vishichraro, and then he was freed. Shuret Adin, Ena Eved Chayav Klum. Right. On the basis of the clear din, there's no obligation on part of the Eved. El Bnei Tikkun Olam. So again, that's why this Mishnah is found over here, right? Because all the Mishnayot that we're dealing with are Bnei Tikkun Olam. Kofin et Rabo. We force his master, Vosoto Ben Chorin. We make him into a free man. Vekotev Shtar Al Damav. And then the Eved writes a document obligating himself in the his monetary value. Shimon Gamliel Omer, Eno Kotev Al Meshachrer. That the Eved doesn't have to do anything. The only thing that he gets, or the benefit that he gets, is that he is freed. That's the only thing that happens here. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to go, Eved Shaso Rabo Apotuki V'Shechro. So, Mi Shechro. Right, so the Mishnah is cryptic, right? There's no antecedent to Shechro. Who freed him? So, Rav, Amar Rav, Rabo Rishon, his first master. Meaning that the master who made him into Apotuki is the one who freed him over here. Shurat Adin. So now down the halacha is, Ein Eved Chayav Klum L'Rabo Sheni. That the Eved is totally patur from any obligation towards the second master, meaning the one who got him as collateral. Okay, the Rava, based on the Din of Rava. What's the Din of Rava? We've seen this a number of times. Dama Rava, Hekdesh, Chameitz, V'Shichur, Mafkin, Midei, Shibud. Any one of these three items can remove a Shibud, can remove a lien on an item. So Hekdesh, if you're Makdesh Rashi over here in the Re, believe that's only Hekdesh a goof. If you're Makdesh an item, which that item will be used directly in the Mikdash, it's Mafkin, Midei, Shibud. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Tam believes it even works with Hekdesh Damim, that it's able to remove a shibud. So again, if you took a animal that was in a putuki that was collateral to someone and you're makdish that animal to the mizbeach, then that person loses his rights to that collateral and it belongs to hekdesh now, removes the shibud. Same is true of shichrur and chametz. Shichrur is our case right here, where he frees the slave, even though he is collateral, or he's a lien. Nevertheless, that removes the lien when he is meshachrer otam. And chametz is a case where you lent money to a Nachri, and you gave him chametz as collateral. So even though the chametz is really, in a sense, belongs to the Nachri, when it comes to Pesach, right, then that chametz is returned to your possession, and it's mafkim de shibur, and it becomes yours, and then it becomes chametz shavar lava Pesach, which is asur. So because of Rava's din, when he frees the slave, the first baal, his owner, then the shibur, the lien, is gone, that the second baal, the lender has on him. Ella, mipnei tikkun olam. So what do they do? Mipnei tikkun olam. What's the Mishnah? Shem yimtzeinu bashuk v'yomer lo avdiata. Right? Maybe they will find him in the shuk and say, the second master, say, you're my slave, right? Because you were my aputiki and you belong to me. And there's nowhere, it doesn't say anywhere, that he freed him. This second owner never freed him. And the Rashi over here says the yotzi laz al banav, that they will, you know, cause his children to be of questionable origin because he was a eved kenani. The Gilead says Rakiva Eger points out that even first of all, there were two problems. One is, why about him? Yotzi laz on him. Forget about his children. What about him? That's number one. And number two is, we know that an Eved who has a relationship with the Bat Yisrael, that the Vlad is kosher. That it's a kosher Vlad. So what's the, even if he is an Eved Kanani, it doesn't necessarily cast aspersions on his children. Right? So that's a possibility. Right? I would have thought that the Pash Pshad, and that's what the Gilead Hashas says, that there'll be mostly laws on him, that he's an Eved Kanani, and then he can't marry a Bat Yisrael, and that would be the problem over here. All right, so now he has to give him, so therefore we force Kofinet Rabo Sheni Vasoto Ben Chorin. We've caused the second master, the lender who had him as collateral, we'll make him write a document of freedom to him. V'kotev Eved Shtar Al Damav. And then the Eved himself obligates himself to pay the second owner for the monetary loss that he incurred. So Rishon Omer, Ein Eved Kotev Ela Meshachrer. Right, so what do you mean? He doesn't have to write anything. He just frees him. The second master frees him, and the Eved's off the hook totally. So Mara says, "V'mayka miflagei." What are they arguing? What are they arguing about? So the Mara says, "V'mazik shibudo shachavero kamiflagei." They're arguing about when you damage your friend's collateral. I mean, that when you cause your friend to lose out on collateral, right? What is that? Is that a loss or is that not a loss? I mean, is that enough of a loss that we can be mechayev you in it? The Mara savar chayav. right? One holds that he's chayev. Amar savar patur. So that's patur. Now again, Tosfos points out that this is even better than dina de garmi, because even the one who holds that dina de garmi is patur might in this instance believe that you are chayav when it comes to mazik shibudo shel chaveiro. So based on this, and that the Gemara says, bring a price that shows that this is their machlokas. The Rambam, a mazik shibudo shel chaveiro, banal machlokas, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbanan. That's exactly their machlokas, is when you are mazik shibudo shel chaveiro. So by removing the shibud that the Eved had, by him being freed, right, then he becomes obligated to the Shani, the Rabbo Shani, and he has to pay him money for that hezek of him losing the shibud by being freed. Right? On the other hand, if Rabbi Shimon Gamliel believes, that's not the Eved's problem. That's not the Eved's problem. That's his Baal HaRishon. That's his first owner's problem. And since that's the first owner's problem, he can go after him and he can work on him. He doesn't have the Eved himself is not responsible for that. So that is the position of Rav. The position of Rav over here is that he was freed. No, it's clear that the Baal HaRishon is the Mazik. Right. The question is, who's obligated then to pay? Because the Eved might be obligated to pay only because he is the beneficiary of that Shichra. Right? He's getting all the Hana. When he's freed, he gets all the Hana. So maybe because of that Hana and the Mazik of the Rishon that he'll be obligated. The Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no. I mean, he didn't do anything. You're right, he's the beneficiary, but he didn't take any positive action that caused the loss over here. That's Rob's position. All right, now we have the position of Ula. Right, so Ula came. Ula Amar Mishichro Rabo Sheni, who freed him, his second master, meaning that the person who had him as collateral, the lender out of his collateral, freed him. Shurat Adin Ena Eved Chayav Klum BeMitzvot. Right, that he's not Chayav in Mitzvot, meaning that he's not freed. Right, because the second owner has no ability to free the slave. He doesn't own the slave. Right, it's owned by the borrower, it's just collateral, he has a lien on it, but he freed him. So because now he's known as a Ben Chorin, because the second owner went ahead and was Meshachra him, then we force his first owner to go ahead and make him into a freedom, give him his freedom. And then he writes to his Eved, Shtar al Damav. And the Eved himself has to write for his monetary value. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eino Kotev, Elam Shachrer Kotev. Right, that's it. He doesn't have to do anything, but the one who frees him has to write it, meaning that he's the one who's obligated. So again, according to Rav, the one who's obligated in the first case, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, is the first Baal, right, because he's the one who freed him, he's caused the loss, so he's the one who has to pay, right? And the Chamim, the Tanakhama, believes that no, it's the Eved who has to pay, according to Rav, because he's the beneficiary of the freedom of that the first shichur. In this case, so here it's the second one who is freeing him. The Eved's really not entitled to be free here. So because Bezin's kofin oto, then we say, okay, based on that, who's really obligated? So we say that the Eved must pay what? The damav. This is interesting. He only has to pay that which is in excess of the loan. Meaning, say that there was $100 lent over here, and this Eved was collateral. If the Eved was worth $120, the only thing the Eved has to pay for is the $20. Because the second Baal, by forgiving or freeing the Eved, he's the one who caused his own loss. I mean, he's the one who gave away his own collateral. So all the Eved has to do is pay the excess amount that he caused the loss to the Baal HaRishon. So that excess amount he has to write, that's what the Tanakhama believes. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, what do you mean? Why is it the Eved's responsibility at all? This is the second Baal, or the one who took his collateral, caused the whole problem. And he should have to pay that excess amount back to the Baal HaRishon. So Gemara says, according to Ulo, what's the machlokus between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? But Hezek she'enu nikar kemiflegei. It's when you have Hezek that is not obvious, which is not able to be seen. Marsaber shmehezek. One of the things that is Hezek. Marsaber lo shmehezek. It's not considered damage. I mean, here this is quote-unquote invisible damage, right? The Eved looks like the same Eved he did, today and tomorrow. The only thing is that his status changed, right? It's an intangible item that changed. That intangible, is that considered Hezek or not considered Hezek? And based on that, that Hezek will say whether the Eved has to, again, the Eved is obligated, or is it the Baal HaSheni, right? Is it the one who freed him who is obligated based on that? that he's freed. The first Baal loses his Eved. The Baal HaRishon, his master. Because we now force his Baal, we force his master to free him, even though he had no intent in freeing him. All right, so now the Gemara continues. Ula, my time alo amakarav. Why didn't Ula explain the Mishnah the way Rav did? Tamalcha, sheni, rabu, karidle? Since when is the second one called his master? Meaning that when it says in the Mishnah that kofin et rabo, says that we force his master to free him, according to Rav, that his master is the second master, which is meaning the lender, the one who has him as the collateral. So since when is he called a master? He has no ownership over him, so why would you call him a master? So for Rav, my time alo amar ke'ula. So why didn't Rav say like Ula? Why didn't he hold like Ula's position? Amalcha, sheni, meshachrer karizle? Right, so when you, in the beginning of the mission, it says, this shechriro, that he freed him. So it says, since when can you call the second one, meaning again, the one who has him as collateral, the lender, since when is he called him shachrer? He has no ability to free this slave. This slave doesn't belong to him to free him. I mean, he went ahead and did it, but that doesn't mean he had any tokef or any power to do it, and that's a lacking. So again, meshachrero sounds like the, again, both, to be honest, both of them sound like the Baal HaRishon. Meaning that both the Shechrero, who has the power to free him, that's his owner, current owner. And when we say that Kofin et Rabo, right, that sounds like his first owner as well. The problem with that is if his first owner freed him, why do we have to be Kofin Oto? So that's the issue. So which one are you going to change? Which one are you going to take out of context and say is not the Rishon and say the Sheni? So Rav opted to say that it's the Rabo that's going to be the Sheni. And Ula opted to say the Shechrero, the one who's Meshachar him, is the Sheni. So each one of them took one piece of that Mishnah to, quote-unquote, out of context in order to explain the Mishnah. All right, now, Gemara's going to continue an understanding about aputikis. Right, so aputiki is generally a directed collateral. So Itmar, ho'osesa deo aputiki la'achirim vishat fanar. Person makes his field a directed collateral for a loan. Vishat fanar, and then it was flooded. So now, Ami, Shapir Na'eh, Ami, the good-looking one, all right, now, he also shows up in Nida, this Ami, and over there, he's called Ami Vardina. So, and Rashi over there comments in Nida, Rashi comments that Ami Vardina was because he looked, he was so good-looking as a vered, as good-looking as a rose. So they called him Ami the Rose Man, or Ami Good-Looking, and Rashi quotes our Gemara in Gittin to say that he's the same person. Rashi gives an alternative shot there that Vardina is a place or a location. But based on the Gittin, this would square more with the first shot in Rashi. So now, Rabbi Yochanan. So this Ami Shapir Noeh said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Eino gove mishar nechasim. That if you give directed collateral, then once that collateral expires, meaning because it's been flooded, you have no rights to take any other of its possessions because you had collateral and now you lost that collateral. Shmuel's father said, no, that you can get that when you say that this is an aputiki, it means this is the best object to take it from, but that's not the only object which you can take it from. So now Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Mishum da Ami Shapir Na'ehu, because Ami's so good looking, Omer Shmaita de Lo Shapirin. So then he, you know, used up all his good looks on himself, and therefore he didn't have, you know, anything good to give over in his memra. He says, because how could it be that you have this apotheke and then all of a sudden, right, that this person doesn't have the right to collect from any of the other possessions? So where it says, to Targem Shmaitse, explain the position of Ami Shapinera in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Damar Leiloi Hela Chapiron Elamizu. So now you have two types of directed collateral. You can have directed collateral, which says that you will only have this collateral, where he makes this the singular collateral that the person has. In that instance, what Ami Shapinera says is true. In that case, if you lose that field, if it's flooded out, you're out of luck. You have no more collateral. You can't go after his other nechasim. On the other hand, if he says, if I don't pay you, take it, you'll take this field, in that case, he's not saying exclusive this field, but rather the priority will be this field. But my other nechasim are also, right, mishubad to you, are yours as well. Now, based on this, the Tosfos Reed asks an interesting question. What's the point of having an apotiki? Right, meaning that, in the end, if a apotiki, right, can be, and we're going to see a second in the Gemara, I probably should read more of the Gemara, but we're going to see in a second that the mocher can even pull the apotiki. So here, if you can, if the mocher can pull the apotheke, or if the apotheke gets ruined, you get collateralized with the rest of his possessions, then what's the point of having an apotheke? Right? It doesn't have any value. It can always be changed out. You can always use something else as collateral. So the Tosfos Rid says that there's a benefit in a couple of instances. One is, if he wants to be Gova's karka, he can demand that karka when it's an apotheke, and the mocher hasn't sold it, and it's still in his possession, even though that's his best piece of property, or that's a better piece than he has otherwhere else, and he only has to pay about chov, only has to pay benonit. But say this is idit, he can still take this, he gets first, you know, dibs at taking this property, because that's an apotheke. That's one, and the second thing is also with the yorshim. If he comes to badli from, you know, yorshim, if he comes to collect from yorshim, by yorshim you only get to collect from ziborit. But here again, if it's an apotheke, he has a right to go after it, even though it's not ziborit. So apotheke is like a first right of refusal on this property. If the property is still there, he has a first right of refusal on it. But other than that, he has no real rights in that property. Again, unless we have this case where Ami Shapir Noah says the name of Rabbi Yochanan, where you say this is the only collateral you're going to have. In that case, if it's lost, then he's out of luck, and that's what he has, is the collateral that he directed. As a Tanya Ami Ochi, we have a brisa that supports this position, this explanation, Ami Shapir now. Hosis Adeo apotheke l'acher, makes it as a collateral, directed collateral, v'shot fanar, then it was flooded. Gova mishar nechasim, he can collect from the rest of the possessions of the debtor. V'yamamar lo, lo yechel lecha piron ele mizu, he says you can only collect from this item, eno gova mishar nechasim, then he has no rights to any other possessions of the debtor, because he made this the only, the singular and only collateral towards the lender. Tani irach, we have an additional brisa that says, ha'osis adeo apotuki l'bal chov, uluk tubat isha. Person makes his field an apotheke either to a balchov or a ktuba. Govin mishar nechasim. Despite that fact, you can collect from the other items. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gomel Omer, balchov govin mishar nechasim. A balchov can collect from the other items. Isha ain't a govin mishar nechasim. When it comes to a woman, she may not collect from his other possessions. So, isha, why? Shein darkash l'isha l'chazer al batei dinin. Because it's not, we don't expect, or it's not the natural way of a woman to have to go after into Beis Din and try to assess who bought the property first, who's bought this property, sold this property, where's the lien, and because she has to take the last piece of free property that was left to this debtor. So that's not the process, or that's not what's expected of a woman. Therefore, we don't say that she collects from the other property, that she keeps her lien on the apotheke. So again, here, in this case, is a case where Rashi and Tosfos both say that the mocher can sell out this apotheke from under the Baal Chov, or under the Ketubat Isha, he can go sell it out, and they have no recourse against him for that. As long as they can collect from the debtor's other possessions, that becomes the priority rather than the apotheke. And that's where, that's what the Tosfos Rid asked the question, what's the benefit of apotheke, which is what we discussed. Now, when it comes to the Ketubat Isha, right, we just said that she doesn't have rights to anything besides the apotheke. So on that case, and Tosfos says this over here explicitly, the Baal may not sell the property at this point. Because if the apotheke is the only thing the woman's going to rely on, right, because she doesn't get Shar Nechasim, then the mocher doesn't have the right to sell it out from under her, because then he's causing her a loss by not, because now she's lost her collateral. And therefore, that transaction will have to be reversed, meaning that you have to go back, she can take that back, or even the Baal himself can reverse. That mechira is not a good mechira, because he sold something that doesn't belong to him, because it belongs to the woman, legabe her ktubas isha. So it's not simply that we say the woman has the apotheke, and if he sells it, she's out of luck. No, because she has the apotheke, and she gets no collateral besides the apotheke, that apotheke now, the mocher has no rights to sell, and that he's obligated to ensure that that gets to the woman. All right, so let's continue the Mishnah. This Mishnah is a very famous Mishnah, right? It appears numerous times in Shas, as well as the Mishnayos. And we actually quoted it just before. We quoted it in 2 days ago's daf. We also quoted this Mishnah. So, mi shechetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin. Person who is half an eved kanani and half a ben chorin. Ovet ad rabo yom echad v'et atzmo yom echad. He works for his master, meaning the half that he's still owned by. He works for him one day, and then he works for himself the other day. Divrei Beit Hillel. That's what Beit Hillel suggests. Mechami omrim, takantem et rabo. You took care of his master. Why? By not saying that they're shutufim, right? The possibility was, the way Beit Hillel could have explained this, is that there's a joint ownership. The Eved and the Rav and his master actually share ownership of himself. And what they would do is they'd share in 50% of everything he does. Any output that he has, anything he finds, would be 50-50. And that the Rabbo doesn't want. His master doesn't want that. The master wants a clearly defined day where he's working for him, and a clearly defined day where he gets everything. He doesn't have to share. He doesn't want to be in partnership with the Eved. So Beis Hillel says, sure, he'll work one day for himself and one day for the master. So based on that, they say, Takantem et Rabbo, you took care of the problem for the master. But, Vet Atzma lo Takantem, you didn't take care of this Eved. Right? Lisa Shivcha e Efshar. He can't marry a Shivcha. Why? Shekvar Chetzio Ben Chorin. Because half of him is a Ben Chorin. Bat Chorin Efshar. He can't marry a free woman, Israelite, because of the Chetzio Eved, the side of him that's an Eved Kanani. Ibatel. So what's the solution? He won't get married? Valo lo nivra olam ela priria virivya. The world was created for priria virivya. Shenemar lo tov vara la shevet yotzra. Hashem did not create the world to remain desolate. Ela mipnei tikkun olam. Right, because of tikkun olam, again, why the Mishnah is found here. Kofinet rabo veosoto ben chorin. He has to free him. And then the Eved obligates himself to repay the Baal for that half that he freed him for. And Beit Hillel reversed their position and agreed or acquiesced to the position of Beit Shammai. All right, now I'll point out one of the major issues in this Mishnah, which is subject to machlokes and also subject to a lot of questions, is the issue of Pruruvu here. Is an Eved Kanani Chayev in Pruruvu, number one, and is a Goy Chayev in Pruruvu? Right, so these are major questions because the Mishnah makes an underlying assumption that this Eved is Chayev in Pruruvu, and why? Because the puzzle they quote is Loto Levara Leshevet Yatzra. So the question is an Eved Chayev in Pruruvu? And number two is, why do they quote the pasuk of, right, Leshevet Yatzra? So Tosfa says, he can't marry a Shivcha. The Eved Kanani can't marry a Shivcha. So now, the underlying assumption in that is that if he married a Shivcha, he'd be fine. Why? If he married a Shivcha, would he be fine? So that's what Gemara says, and what Tosfos says, well, why does that solve his problem? Because when you marry a Shivcha, that does not mekayim the Peruvu. Why? Because the Vladot from the Shivcha do not belong to him. They belong to the master. And therefore, he's not mekayim Peruvu. So Tosfos over here says that had he been able to, and Tosfos here separates based on this, he separates between Puria Rivia and Loto Leshevet Yatzra, right? That Toto Vara Leshevet Yatzra, between leaving everything desolate. And he says that even though if an Eved Kanani marries a Shivcha Kanani, he's not Mikayim Puravu, nevertheless, he is Mikayim. He is Mikayim, the Loto Vara Leshevet Yatzra, meaning that the world is not supposed to be desolate. So there, by producing children, he's not leaving the world desolate, even though he's not Mekayim Puravu. And Tosfos suggests, because of that, that we would not be Kofin Rabo. If you had such a solution, we would not be Kofin Rabo. We would not force his Rebbe to free him, right? Because he can Mekayim Loto Vara Leyeshevet Yatzra. All right, so that's one important thing. Tosfos asks, and all the other Rishonim ask here, why there are other solutions for this Chatzi Eved and Chatzi Shivcha to marry, like a Mamzer and a Natin and all of these other people. I'm not going to get into it. They spend time explaining why that can't be a solution, why that's not a good solution. But just so you should be aware that there are other solutions that all the Rishonim deal with, why the Gemara did not suggest them. What I do want to get to is the other question, which is why is he chayiv in Puravu? So the Tosfos over here, it's on Mem Aleph Amud Bet. It's important Tosfos over here. It says Lo Tov Varo Leshevet Yatzra. So that Tosfos. How do Lo not cut Krod the Puravu? Why, when they said he's chayiv in Puri Arivia, did the Mishnah not quote the pasuk of Puravu? That would be the better pasuk to quote. Meshum Diava Yochel Lekayim Shevet Kol Dehu. Had he been able to mekayim Shevet Kol Dehu, any type of production of children, Meshum Diava because of the mitzvah Puravu, we would not free him. And that's exactly, he says, like I just said. Tosfos says, like I just said in the previous Tosfos, that we wouldn't force him. In that instance, we wouldn't force the Rebbe to free him. If he could take care of Lo Tohu, we wouldn't worry about the issue of Puravu. Inami, Naked Haikra, they chose this pasuk, Mishum de Mukha de Mitzvah Rabohi. Now, based on this pasuk, Puravu in the Torah is a regular mitzvah, but when you bring the pasuk Lo Tohu Vara, Lo Shevet Yatzra, that brings up Puravu to be a fundamental part of creation. And that shows you that's a huge mitzvah. So again, if that's what we want to show, we want to show that this is such an important mitzvah that we must free the Eved in order that he can mekayim such a mitzvah. All right, so now, if you look in... Right, exactly. But the Pasuk in Navi is Megale, what the purpose of producing children is. It's not that that's the mitzvah, but the point is that this is the point of creation. And without this, right, then creation fails. All right, so now, if you skip down on this... Right. So if you go down, I don't know if your Gemaras have the same layout, but across from where it says Tosfos Rid, in the Tosfos, or across from, in Rashi, it says Dibra Torah. Dibra Torah, across from that Rashi, it says, HaBarav Yitzchak Barabi, Barabi Mordechai Mefarish, Tenokat Lashevet Yitzara, Mishum Deshayech, Af Betzad Avdut. So listen to this. Ah, so he's Aval Pruvu Lo Shayech Ela Betzad Chirut. All right, that Pruvu is only relevant when it comes to the Ben Chorin. Lashevet Yitzara is relevant to the Tzad Avdut, but Pruvu is not Shayech. So now, based on this, Tosla says, why? Because what do we know about a Eved Kenani? An Eved Kenani is Chayev in Mitzvot, like an Isha. Right? So if he's Chayev in Mitzvot like an Isha, is an Isha Chayevet in Pruvu? The answer is no. So is a, based on this, Tosfos in the concluding lines, you look in the last, and way end of Tosfos, there's an Aleph in the way end of Tosfos, about four or five lines from the bottom of this Tosfos, there's a little Aleph there. So Fize, B'shifcho Nami Shayach Ba'ashevet, so this Pesach Shevet replies to a Shifcho, V'had alo kafina mechetzi Shifcho chetzi bat chonim alaheich adagu ba'i minag hefker, ha'ni mishum tekemi lo mifkida, pruruvu, shema gam la'acha shi nishtachre lo tekayim. Since she doesn't have the din of pruruvu, maybe even after she's freed, she will not do anything with it. She won't solve the problem that we're trying to come to alleviate here. Whereas the Eved Kenani who's freed becomes a Ben Israel, and then he's Mufkad in Pruvu, and we're sure that he's going to go do the mitzvah after that. So based on this Tosfos, this amazing line, Tosfos says that an Eved is not Chayav in Pruvu. An Eved is only Chayav in Leshevet, right? Lo Tol Vara, Leshevet Yitzara. That's the only thing an Eved is Chayav in it. And Tosfos equates the three, an Isha, a Shifcha, and an Eved are all on the same plane in the sense that they are Chayev in Leshevet, because an Eved Kenani is Chayev in Mitzvos like an Isha. Isha's not Chayevet in Pruvu, so too he's not Chayev in Pruvu. He's only Chayev in Shevet Yitzra. The problem is there's a Tosfos in Chagiga. Tosfos in Chagiga on Beis and Beis says that an Eved is Chayev in Pruvu. And he brings down, he says, there's someone who says that an Eved is not Chayev in Pruvu, and he rejects it outright. He says, no way. He says, an Eved is Chayev in Pruvu. So the stira is a stira, an open stira in Tosfos, whether an Eved is Chayev in Pruvu or not. And the same would be true, may possibly, of a Nochri, of a non-Jew, a Ben Noach. Is a Ben Noach Chayev in Pruvu or not Chayev in Pruvu? Maybe he's only Chayev in Leishevet, but not Chayev in Pruvu. Why? Because you know the Lochri is that only mitzvot that were repeated after they were given prior to Matan Torah, is a Ben Noach Chayiv in it. And Pruvu is one of those mitzvahs that is not repeated. Nevertheless, there are Rishonim that believe that a Ben Noach is Chayiv in Pruvu. How do you solve the problem? Look, Tosfos has a good point here. That if it's Chayiv in mitzvahs like an Isha, then why is he Chayiv in Pruvu? So that there are a number of, the Pnei Yoshua, the Turi Evin, and the Mishnah Melech all discuss this issue with Tosfos, and they say that you have to differentiate. There are certain mitzvot that a woman is not chayav in because they are mitzvot aseh azman grama. Those mitzvot, the Eved and the Isha, are equated. And in those mitzvot, an Eved is potur just like an Isha is ptura. But if the Isha is ptura from a mitzvah because of an exogenous variable, for an external factor, for instance, by Pruvu, the woman is not chayevet in the mitzvah, not because it's a mitzvah to say Shemans Gemara, because of Kivshua, that ain't darka shel isha lichvosh, right, that that's not her derech. But an Eved is darko lichvosh. The same thing would be true, what about shaving one's beard, or cutting off one's payas? A woman is not chayevet in those mitzvot, not because it's a mitzvah to say Shemans Gemara, but because it's not relevant to a woman. On the other hand, an Eved, it would be relevant. So if he's chayev in mitzvot like a woman, right, then he will get, if it is relevant to him, then he will be chayav. So that's what they all suggest over here. The difference and why they reject Tosfos' understanding here is because even though a woman might be p'turah from this mitzvah, it's not p'turah because of mitzvah seisha asman gra, but p'turah from a factor which is not relevant to a woman. So if you take an evet who's chayav in mitzvah like a woman and it becomes relevant to him, then it will also be chayav. He'll be chayav in the mitzvot, and therefore an evet should be chayav in p'ruvu like Tosfos in Chagiga suggests. Okay, again, it's an interesting halacha, it's an interesting issue, and whether Ben Noach is chayav in Puravu, whether Evet is chayav in Puravu, and what's the difference between Puravu and Lo Tov V'ra L'Shevet Yitzara? I mean, are those different dinim, or are they the same din? And Lo Tov L'Shevet Yitzara is just giving you, explain to you how important the mitzvah Puravu is, or the possibly Tosfos suggests here breaks them up into two separate mitzvot. They're not necessarily, one is Puravu, and one is Lotul Vetra, and he suggests that an Eved is only Chayv in one and not the other. Right now, means that they think that the formulation has to be in the negative form. It's not a positive mitzvah in being a command, but rather if one who does not do this, then he is, right, he is Oker, the purpose of creation, according to Kodesh Baruch Hu. I mean, one who does that is almost saying to Hashem, I don't care what you want, I don't care about your creation, or I am, right, he is rebelling against the purpose of creation. So the one who doesn't do it in the negative formulation is problematic. Not that maybe necessarily that there's a positive mitzvah to, you know, reproduce, but the lack of reproduction is a, right, affront to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I think that's the way you have to read that pasuk in Yeshayahu. All right. Tanur Rabbanan. Hamishachrer chatzi avdo, one who frees half his slave, meaning that he owns a whole slave, and then he wants to free half of that 50% of the slave. Rabbi Omar kana, that the slave is kone his freedom for that 50%. V'chamirim lo kana, that he's unable to acquire that 50%. Amar Rava machloket b'shtar. Their machloket between Rabbi and the Chachamim is only when he tries to free him derech shtar shichrur. Why? The Rebbe Savar, right, again, we're going to quote, this is why we quote early in the Gemara, that from Shifchar Rufa, it says, V'hafte lo nifdata, o chufsha lo nolitan la. So, v'hafte lo nifdata is what is the monetary freedom, where she gets pidyon, and o chufsha lo nitan la is a get shechur. Make a shtar the kesef, right, the pasuk connects, right, juxtaposes pidyon to shtar. Ma kesef ben kulo ben chetzio. Right, just like by monetary matters, right, you can split something up, you cut it in half, so too the Eved can acquire, right, through monetary means, a half of himself. Av shtar nami ben kulo ben chetzio. So too a shtar can work, function in the same way. You can have a shtar shechur for half of him, and you can have a shtar shechur for all of him. Verabonan gemirye la la mi isha. Verabonan learn a gzer shav of la la between get shechur for an Eved and a get isha. Ma isha chetzilo, af evet nami chetzilo. By an isha, you can only divorce the entire woman, not half the woman. So do by an evet, you can only divorce the entire evet and not a portion of the evet. Aval bekesef, when it comes to monetary means, right, I mean, if he frees himself by buying out of 50%, that divri akol kana. Everybody agrees he can do it. He can do it in portion. Why? Because how do they explain v'hafta lo niftata by shifcha rufa? It means p'tuya v'ena p'tuya. It means that it's a shifcha that is half free and half not free. How did she become half free and half not free? Because she's p'tuya v'ena p'tuya, or so she had redeemed a portion of herself and not the other half. So we see by monetary manner means you can do this. So where it says blame b'ha kamiflegei. Let's say this is their machlokas. The mar sover hekesha adifa, right? That the Rabbi Akiva believes when you have a hekesh, and a gzer shava, we opt towards the hekesh. Marzav gzer shava adifa. And the Chachamim say no. When it's a challenge between a hekesh and a gzer shava, we say gzer shava trumps. So lo, Gemara says no. The kuli alma gzer shava adifa. Everybody agrees that a gzer shava is better. Meaning that if you have a choice between a gzer shava and a hekesh, we're going to pick the gzer shava. Rashi says why? It's very interesting. Rashi over here. Look in the Rashi. The kuli alma gzer shava adifa. Why? The kaven de mufne lidrosh, right? So there are different types of gzeru shavot, right? A gzeru shava can be that you have two words that are similar and you have a mesora that's a gzeru shava. Or you can have two words where the words are extraneous in the pasuk and then you make a gzeru shava. That's called mufne, that they're available. So now, if kaven de mufne lidrosh, since these words were extraneous and they're available to learn a gzeru shava, havale kemand kotve begufe dekra. it's as if it's written explicitly in the Pasuk. Right? So when you use a Gzer Shava, not that it's a Gzer Shava, it's a Limud. Right? Almost Torah Baal Peh, but it becomes almost Torah Bichtav. It's the equivalent of being written explicitly in the Torah. Doctor Kra Yaseiru, because it's an extra Pasuk, it's extraneous. Bechilav Mufnenami. And even when it's not using the extraneous words in the Pasuk, Ve'in La Shiva Le'a, and you have no tshuva, meaning that you don't have any reason to upshlug the Gzer Shava, Kevan de Misinai Gaminanla, because it has to come Derech Mesora, Deina Dan Dan Gzer Shav Miatzmo, Iyo Adifi Mehekesh. It's better than a Hekesh. So Rashi says there are two different types of Gzer Shavot, and each one of them has a Maila that would make it better than a Gzer Shava. If it's a Gzer Shava that's not Mufne, the Maila is that you need it through Mesora from Sinai, and that's why it's better than a Hekesh. On the other hand, if you have a Gzer Shava that's Mufne, that uses extraneous words in the Pasuk, that is better than a Hekesh because it's as if it's explicitly written in the Pasuk. Suppose the Hekesh, which is a Limud, right? Torah Shebaal Peh, here you have Torah Shebichtav, and that will take precedence because we rather, you know, Torah Shebichtav, which is explicit, will take precedence over something that's learned, a Derech HaLimud, over a Derech of a Hekesh. That's what Rashi suggests over here. It's a very, very interesting Rashi. So now, V'shaini Ha'ocha, let's go back to our Gemara. And so why, if everybody agrees that Gzeir Shav is better, then why does Rabbi Akiva over here opt, right, for the Hekesh? So Gemara says, V'shaini Ha'ocha, de'ika le'mifrach, because you can upslug this Gzeir Shav. Mala Yishash Kenenu Yotzah B'Kesef. Right, a woman cannot be freed through pidyon. So how can you learn from a woman to an Evet? Right? Tomar Be'Evet Yotzah B'Kesef. Right? How can you say that the shtar by an Evet should be identical to the shtar by a woman? A woman doesn't have pidyon by her. So maybe just like an Evet has pidyon, so too his shtar works differently. Now what we should ask over here is that the Gzer Shava by Get Shichrur and Get Isha is Mufne. And when you have a Gzer Shava that's Mufne, where it's used out of exchange words, Ein Lahashiv. We don't ask questions on such a Gzer Shava. Even though there might be logical arguments against the Gzer Shava, we ignore those arguments when it is Mufne. So now, it's interesting. So Tosus says, last Tosus here. If you look last Tosus on the daf, Afagav the Gzer Shava Mufnehi. The Afina Mina Mili Tuva Mikomakom came into Ikla Mifrach, Shavkin Lamishum Hakesha. But because, even though it's Mufne, and Mufne should take precedence over a Hekesh, but because there is a Pircha, even though the Pircha will not stop the Gzer Shava, nevertheless, that Pircha now equates or elevates the Hekesh beyond the Gzer Shava. It's a very interesting idea here, that because you have a Pircha, even though the Pircha is not relevant because the Gzer Shava still stands, nevertheless, it weakens the value of the Gzer Shava, the Gabe Hekesh. It's very, very interesting. Now, that's the position of Rabba. That's how he explains the Machlokas between Rabbi and the Chachamim. On the other hand, we have Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef Amar Machlokas B'Kesef. When it comes to this machlokas about Mesharcher Chatzi Avdo, that comes to do with money. When he redeems him, that's where they have the machlokas. The Rabbi Sover V'After Lo Niftata B'Tuya B'Nei B'Tuya. The Rabbi believes when the Shifcha Rufa was a case of Chatzi Shifcha that's freed and Chatzi Shif that's not freed. And therefore he learns out Kesef Pidyon can take out half. Rabbanan Tzavi Dibra Torah K'Lashon B'Nei Adam. When it comes to Avdel Lo Niftata, that's not saying that she is half freed. That's, she's not freed at all. She's a complete Shifcha Kananit. Which we're going to see, it's a Gemara, we're going to see this Gemara later on, that this is a machlokas about this Shifcha Rufa. Is she half free and half a Shifcha Kananit, or she's a total Shifcha Kananit? Based on Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi believes she's half and half, and that's why he says Duya means you can take kiss the pigeon and get you out half. But I'm saying no, Dibra Kashalas or no, Havdel and Iftata means she's not free at all. So they can't learn out that kiss the pigeon can do this or get you out halfway out. Aval Bishtar Dibra Kolo Kona. Everybody agrees by a Shtar that's not Kone. Why? Because Gzeir Shava trumps Hekesh. Gzeir Shava trumps Hekesh, and because of that, everybody agrees by the Shtar that it's not Kone. All right, so now the Gemara says, Meitevei, HaMeshacher Chatzi Avdo B'Shtar. Someone who frees half of his Evet through a Shtar. Rebbe Omer Kana, V'chomim Lo Kana. Guess what you see here? You have a Shtar, and it's a Machlokes. To Yufta, the Rav Yosef, to Yufta. This is a massive question of Yosef. You say everybody agrees, Lo Kana by Shtar. You have an explicit right, so that says they do argue in Shtar. So the Gemara says, Neima b'shtar hu de pligi avav kesef lo pligi. The fact that the Brisa only says they argue in shtar, but they don't doesn't mention kesef, maybe it means that they don't argue in kesef, and that would be a double to Yufta and Rav Yosef, meaning that Rav Yosef would also upshlug that the fact that he says kesef is a machlokes, instead of it being kuli alma. So the Gemara says, Limitav de Yufta b'Rav Yosef b'tarte, that both of his positions will be upshlugged. Amalach Rav Yosef, pligi b'shtar v'uadin b'kesef. No. Z'machlokas. Now, Rav Yosef amends his position. He says that they argue both by kesef and by shtar. V'hadaka miflige b'shtar. So why does the b'raisa only bring down shtar? Lo diacha kocho d'rabi. To tell you the strength of Rabbi's position, that even by shtar, he disagrees and says that he says that you're kone, that you're able to take half freedom. So liflego b'kesef, why don't we bring the machlokas kesef? Lo diacha kochan d'rabanan. Teach that the rabbanan, even kesef, say you can't get a half freedom. So Gemara says koach de'derya adiflay. Right, that if you want to give show the power of a position, we'd rather go to tzad het there. And who's the one who's matzah over here? Is Rabbi, who says that he's able to acquire his half of himself. Therefore, they brought that position of Rabbi down to show you how far Rabbi would go. Even by shtar, he would say that chatzi kone. Tashma ve'afte. Right, this is by the pasuk of Shimchor. It says afte yachol lakol, meaning that she was totally freed. Tamad omar lo niftata, she was not freed. Ilo niftata yachol lakol. If you say she's not freed, means she wasn't freed entirely. Right, tamad omar afta, that she was freed. So ha ketzat, what's the solution to this? Ptuya ve'ain up ptuya, right, that she is partially freed. Bekesef u'beshova kesef, and had she become partly free through monetary means. Ve'ainli ela bekesef b'shtar minayin. That only works by kesef. By shtar, how do I know that it works also? Tamalomar v'avdeh lo niftata u'chusha lo nitan la. So you have the hekesh between kesef and shtar. V'lahalan umer, and further on it says, v'kotav la sefer kritut. Malahalan b'shtar, afkan b'shtar. So when it says, chusha lo nitan la, the la teaches you that chusha lo nitan la means derech shtar. And because of derech shtar, ainli ela b'chetzio b'kesef u'kulo b'shtar. Now I only know half with kesef, and kulo b'shtar, because chufsha lo nitan la means I could do it derech shtar. Chetzio b'shtar minayin, how do I know she can also free her half for the shtar? Tamalor v'efdol lo niftato chufsha lo nitan la, make his shtar the kesef. Ma kesef ben kulo ben chetzio, av shtar nami ben kulo ben chetzio. So now, who's the author of this b'raisa? That's what the Gemara wants to know. Who's the author of this b'raisa? So bishlam of the Rav Yosef, batar di totov, after we asked the question of Rav Yosef and he amended his position, then the machlokas is in kesef and in shtar, and therefore hamani Rabbi. Rabbi is the author of the Mishnah because he says both. What? Both. Number one, that you can do pidyon derech kesef, right? And number two, he says is that you can use a shtar to get a partial, right? A partial redemption. So that'll be Rebbe throughout. Rebbe would be the author of the entire brisa. Elo the Rabbah, according to Rabbah, resha divrei akol. The first half of this b'raisa is according to everybody. Everybody agrees that you can use, according to Rabbah, kesef, to free her, free half of her. V'seif for Rabbi. But the second half of the b'raisa only goes according to Rabbi because it says by shtar that you can free half of her. So Gemara says, Amal Charabah, in resha divrei akol, v'seif for Rabbi. What's the big deal? Right, the first half is divrei akol, and the second half is Rabbi. Ravashi Amar Rabbi. Right, that it's Rabbi. Rabbi's the author of the entire Mishnah. True that the Chachamim would agree in the first half to the position of Rabbi with the Gavei Kesef, but Rabbi can be consistent. According to Rabbah, Rabbi could be the author of the entire Mishnah, and that's not a problem. Right? He's the author of the Mishnah. It happens to be the Chachamim agree in one instance, but nevertheless, he could be the author of the entire Mishnah. Right, so now, Bishlomo, so our Mishnah, Elamas Nisan, our Mishnah over here, Tani Mish Chetzu Evim Chetzu Ben Chorin. How do we get such a case? Bishlam and the Rabbah Mukin Laba Kesef. I would say, what's the case here? It's a Kesef V'Divrei Akol. Elo Rav Yosef Lema Rabbi V'Lo Rabbanan. Who could be the author of Mishnah? Only Rabbi and not the Rabbanan. Why? Because the Rabbanan disagreed. They say you can't get half freedom through Kesef, and they say you can't get half freedom through a shtar, according to Rav Yosef. So the only one who could be the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi. So Amar Avino, no. V'Eved Shel Shnei Shutvim V'Divrei Akol. We can create a Mishnah. Our case in our Mishnah is not a case where it was this Eved owned by a single owner who's trying to free 50% of the Eved, but rather it's an Eved that's owned by two owners. They each own 50%. They each own their full 50%. Since they own their full 50%, when they free that person, right, then they are freeing the entirety of what they own. So therefore, a shtar can work or a kesef can work according to Chamim, because you freed 100% of what you own, even though that's only 50% of the Eved, but you've given up your 100% ownership. And that will work according to the Chamim, the Divrei Rav Yosef. And so that's, again, the idea. We saw this, just point out that we saw this in the Ran, in the Dorim. If you remember that you have a Chotzer Shoshnei Shutfin, right? If you have a Chotzer that belongs to two Shutfin, then, right, how, what does the Gemara say over there? The Gemara says over there that they have to split it, right? And we say Breira, that Huvra Davar, that the Chatzer belongs to, when you go in, right, it belongs to the Shutaf. Like when you're using it, that's your time, yeah, that's yours, and when he's using it, that's his space. So Ran disagrees over there and says, no way. So Ran says, no. What does it mean, Huvra Davar? Huvra Davar is that I own, when we are Shutfin here, I own 100% of the Chatzer, right, all the time that I'm in there, and you own 100% of the Chatzer all the time that you're in there. The only question is, what time belongs to me and what time belongs to you? Right? Just when do I own it and when do you own it in terms of time frame? But each of us owns 100% of the area. So that's an idea in Shutfus, right, that the Ryan presents in the Darim. See a similar type of concept over here. Even though the Eved, in a sense, belongs to both of the people, Shnei Shutfin here, but in my 50%, I own 100% of it, like the Ran suggests over there by Chassid Shel Shutfin. My 50%, the time that I have it, I own that 100%, and therefore I can use it whenever I want, and it's Huvra Davar, that's my 100% that I own. So it's over here. When I free him or I give him a Shtar or Kesef, I'm freeing my 100% ownership in the Eved. All right, we'll stop over here.